Right arrow, hit play music.
No, just start playing it.
And so,
oh my gosh, it gets me going every time. Fat Lip, Sum 41. We did a little research beforehand, and that was on NHL 2002's EA Sports track list,
22 years ago.
I would have been, I was born in 91, so I'm like 10 or 11. Just getting into video games. I don't know if I played that on the computer or if we had like a PlayStation, but yeah. That was life, man. NHL video game was life.
I forgot about computer games.
So I would imagine that song was relatively new at that point, but Taylor and I went to Sum 41 last night.
Yeah.
At the factory out in Chesterfield, and they've been touring for almost 30 years.
That's crazy.
Yeah. I was like reading articles about them because they're retiring this year, and they got together when they were sophomores in high school.
Yeah.
Man, that's cool.
That's actually like impressive though that they've been together for that.
That's like high school sweethearts, but like band.
But bands.
And some people listening may be like, who is Sum 41? Or maybe I've heard of them. But if you listen to their songs, I guarantee that you at least recognize five.
Izzy only knows one, according to Izzy.
There's absolutely no way.
There are definitely songs, like, I don't even know the names of the actual songs, but I know all of them. Yep. I mean, really, we went last night and they played, well, we stayed for like 17, 18 songs.
Yep.
And I knew all of them, besides maybe like three.
Good, the two new ones?
I knew the new one because you played them.
The radio.
Yeah. that's why I knew those.
So they've been around so long, they're played so often on any kind of station.
They're on movie. I mean, how many movies are like Sum 41 songs in?
What's he talking
about? Yeah.
I was just saying like growing up, in too deep. Because I'm in too deep and I'm trying to keep by the ball in my head instead of going on. What was it?
I did the same thing with Motley Crue years ago, and I was like, somebody was like, I don't know a single Motley Crue song. I go, BS. I bet you know. I was like, it was more than five. I was like, let's just say seven or something like that. We went through them, and I'm like, holy shit, I know like eight Motley Crue songs. I'd never have listened to them in my entire life.
I mean, we've done this with Amara like three or four times in the past year. She didn't know any of the Killers. She didn't know any...
they just bought their weed.
Pearl Jam. She didn't know anything. And we're just like, what was the other one?
Poor little Amara.
But she's been introduced to all the old bands now. The Sum 41 thing, though, made me feel really old today because we have a bunch of aides that help us in the clinic. And they're all, 21 and younger. And they're asking like... questions. And I was like, oh, he went to Sum 41 last night. And they're like, who? Huh? I mean, I kid you not, there was like six of them today. None of them knew who Sum 41 was. So
I believe it, but it is a shame. And it's like, it's exactly what you said. Most of them wouldn't. I mean, that song alone, In Too Deep, was in American Pie 2, Malcolm in the Middle, and Cheaper by the Dozen, which were all like huge. Like two movies. Yeah, two.
And they've all, like, they've definitely seen Cheaper by the Dozen. And
yeah, well, I mean, that's these Gen Zs, you know. I was like growing up, I was just thought they were like a Blink-182 light version, maybe super light.
Yeah.
Cheaper, you know, poor man's Blink-182.
Yeah. It's funny because, so Blink-182 drummer is Travis Barker or whatever, right? He's always shirtless and he's got like a gajillion tattoos. And last night the Sum 41 drummer comes out and he's shirtless and not as many tattoos as Travis, but like still, I'm like, is this like a drummer thing? Is this like a stereotype?
Inspired by.
Yeah, so I'm gonna start noting every drummer when we go to concerts and see what they look like.
Dave Matthews Band drummer, his name's Carter Beauford, and he does not play shirtless. He might have tattoos, but.
Does he have a tank top on?
He has.
Or does he have sleeves on?
No, he has sleeves on. He used to wear like a sports jersey all the time, like just a different.
Yeah. But that was my thing. I was like, do drummers wear sleeves? Because I feel like even in like country concerts, a lot of drummers have like tank tops on.
That makes sense. Like,
they gotta be free with their arms, you know, flopping around.
I'm sure he's gone sleeveless in a lot of them, but his little thing is he wears He didn't always, but now he wears golf gloves when he drums to like hold
this
on.
This guy had gloves on last like, night. Yeah. Yeah.
I guess I would say that I'm going to go out on a limb here, but I would say Carter Beaufort from Dave Matthews Band made that a thing. Like,
yeah,
like,
that like, was like his like, thing. Cool.
And he actually wore like not drummer, like golf like gloves.
Golf yeah. gloves, yeah.
But
I don't know what this guy had on last night. I just saw he had yeah. black gloves on, so.
All right.
Interesting.
5 minutes of witty banter. Is, I mean, you guys just went to the concert, so it was...
It was so loud.
Yeah, I believe yeah. that.
Yeah. What was funny is we like got in the car last night, and usually we'll like rock out some music late at night. It's kind of our thing. And Matt just turned the stereo down, and he was like, I just need some quiet. I was like, this is how we know we're old.
There was loud concerts, and they were just...
They were so loud. Even the band before was so loud before too. It was a lot.
So just like the factory, or is that what it was?
Is that the factory? Yeah. Have you been there yet?
I have not. I wanted to go there for two friends, but I didn't make it out there. But it sounds like the house music was like loud. Like I'm sure that they were loud too.
Whoever the
interpreters,
interrupters.
Well, James isn't here. James is going to Alabama. To see his sister is getting or is graduating law school. So
yes.
Oh, law school. Yeah. I didn't read all the texts. I read some.
Yeah.
But law school's a big deal.
It is a big deal. So we'll let him slide this time.
Congrats. But
this better not become a habit because it became a habit for a while where he's no showing us. So
yeah. The main topic of this evening is going to be I have it written as the CrossFit fiascos. There's some.
I feel like we've done a few of those. Going on. We're recording it on Thursday, April 25th after. Individual quarterfinals has come and gone and
finished on Monday.
Finished
evening.
Monday. They started video review yesterday.
Individual teen and age group or what?
Teenage age group.
Teens and masters. Whatever. So everybody was due on. Everybody got their workouts last Wednesday. They had all of them done and inputted. Two of them. By Saturday, two of them 7. By Monday night, and leaderboard went live, and holy cow, has there been some changes.
Some chaos for sure, yep. But let's maybe talk about the workouts first and some of the people. Yeah, let's do that. So workout one was, this is I think the first time that they've done a workout like this, and I actually really liked the style of it. So it's basically an EMOM, 4 rounds for max reps, 1 minute of snatches, 1 minute of rowing for calories, 1 minute dumbbell box step-ups, and then 1 minute of rest. The snatch weight was 135.85, and the dumbbells were 50.35. And it was a 20-inch box for everyone. So you basically did 4 rounds, and you got a minute rest, 15-minute-long workout. It was one of those things where you had to be very strategic. You had to kind of pick what you could do best on and build around that. So I liked how they did this. I like you got a minute of rest because it really was it was like mind games a little bit. You're like, oh, I get a minute rest. But everything you were doing was super grippy. So by the end of those 3 minutes, your grip was on fire. And by the end of the 4 rounds, you were like barely holding onto a dumbbell. So
yeah.
Without derailing us, we should just note that this is the workout that is throwing the leaderboard into a tailspin.
Yeah.
It looks
sure.
like this is, if they did what they, if they kind of follow suit with what they did with teams, they only looked at one workout, so...
The first workout,
and that's what they're doing with this one. It happens to be the first workout that they're looking at. So will they look at others? I don't know yet. We don't know yet.
They should.
Yeah, they should, but...
They're definitely looking at this workout.
Yeah, I think... You got a couple things. One, locking out your snatches overhead, right? Not doing the party press.
Rowing
is what it is, but opening the hips up on the box.
There's a lot of people getting things from the box. Yeah.
The biggest thing on the step-up was people's head... was not in line with their body.
Weird rules here. You couldn't have your head facing, leaning down.
Which was when they were saying with the deadlift this year on the open, they were letting people keep their heads down on the deadlift. So it's like, why are we changing that?
Inconsistencies.
Yeah, shocker.
265 athletes receive penalty following video review of workout one, reads the headline at Barbell Spin. And we've got some data that we're going to get into later, but that's... Just wanted to say, this is the workout. We'll talk about it after we do the full review.
Do you want to hit on it now? Might as well.
Do you want to do it? I feel like this is a...
Hot topic?
A hot topic. So everything I'm taking is from the Barbell Spin article, which all cites the data pulled by Mike Halpin from the known and knowable Instagram account.
I'm intrigued to see what CrossFit puts out because they always put out what they give video penalties for. And usually they're like petty, They're like 5 seconds for starting the wrong way. You know, you don't turn around, whatever. Mm-hmm. But this year it's going to be a huge penalty. So I'm going to be intrigued to see the list of what everything is. Cause a lot of people are getting like the 25% penalty, to your score, which is dropping people down hundreds of, if not thousands of places on the leaderboard.
So it goes, the article reads I'm picking up just from the top. Not from the top, but just below the top. Those penalties hit some of the biggest names in the sport. Tia Clara Toomey, Orr, Pat Vellner, Lazar Jukic, Paige Powers, Brooke Wells, Sydney Wells, and more had their scores changed following video review.
Nick Matthews on here too.
That's
a big one.
That is a big one. For Toomey, Orr, and Vellner, the penalty moved them down the leaderboard, but still within a qualifying spot for semifinals, but not everyone was so fortunate. Paige Powers, Sydney Wells, Ella Wilkinson, Luis Oscar Mora were among 48 athletes who were in a qualifying spot and are now outside of the top 40 and are in jeopardy of not advancing to the next stage of the competition due to the assessed penalty. Powers was originally in fifth place in the North American East region, but after her score was adjusted from 209 reps to 168, she dropped to 104th in the region and well out of a qualifying spot. And I'll stop there. So basically, like, yeah, this is the workout. Did you guys watch Hiller's video on Oscar? It was a live stream and not a video, which made it a little tricky. But he did it. And he posted on Instagram too. But it was like, how could
Proven let this happen. Yeah, I didn't watch it, but I saw it pop up.
It is poor Oscar. I like him, and we like whatever, like Proven. But I mean, it is. He has this whole video because Oscar just puts it on his YouTube.
Yeah.
And it's, I mean, it is just a disaster.
Is it really?
From snatches.
I saw he didn't open his hip on his snatches.
Who was judging him?
That's Hiller's like, man. Like, he's like, I like you guys. Proven, but he's like, Shane Orr, what are you doing over there? Nick Johnson, what are you doing like here? Like, literally, they're like, it's a really bad look for the.
I'll have to go back and watch that one.
The Proven, and it's like, I mean, even to the point, all three out of the four rounds, he turns around completely way too early. Mm-hmm. Then he's like, every time, there's simple stuff like that. It is on Hiller Fitz's channel, and it's a live stream and not a regular video, and it's just. It's a good example. He does that before the penalties come out, right? So he's like, they better look at this workout. And it's like, it's a good microcosm of the problem with the workout or what's happening.
I mean, that's proven. I mean, is this in the same scenario where Tia Clara Toomey was there and Brooke Wells was there? Or no, she's not.
Brooke is with Hardwick.
But I mean, Sydney.
Sydney was there.
So this whole group there, and then he was doing a live stream, and the judging was
pretty. Well, that's the other thing too. My thing's not working. He was. I don't know if Hiller was with Bill Leahy.
Yeah, Leahy. Yeah.
Who also got a penalty. Okay, yeah.
I was going to give you the stats on him, but.
It was. I think it was while Sydney McAlishan was going, is what I want to say. But like, it wasn't like Tia Clara Toomey was in the background doing it, but it was the same. You know.
Yeah. Okay. Camp. The same camp.
Well, let's go through this. So we've got some stats just to kind of throw at you, but I mean, this will tell you, like, this is the original rank and then what they got knocked down to. So Patrick Vellner was the number one overall male in the North America West. He got slid 23 spots, so he's currently 24. So he's lucky because he's still in, but he moved down that many spots. That moved Justin Medeiros from number two to number one. So he's the first one there. Dallin Pepper.
Yeah.
So he was, they have him listed here, but he's not moved. But I thought you said that Dallin Pepper was the only one that did get a penalty. Did we read that from Hiller tonight?
Yeah, we did.
So maybe this isn't updated for that one. Yeah. But,
well, no, if you look, he is. He's the only one on the list from the North America East. It didn't affect him, obviously.
No, he didn't get any penalty.
No, he did. No, it just didn't change his rank as a thing. But he's the only one, if you look at this list,
Rank differential zero. Anyway, William Leahy was seventh in the North America West. He dropped 22 points, so he's 29th. And then I'm going to drop down a little bit lower here to talk about I mean, that's kind of the men. Oh, sorry, right here, number 11. I already passed. Nick Matthew was 11, knocked down 62 points. He is currently 73rd. He is out.
Yeah, he's at, I mean, your top 40 that go, is it right?
Yeah,
top 40?
I mean, he was 11th, and got knocked down that far. Taylor, why don't you go over number 50?
We should put it on the spot.
50, second page.
I only go to 35.
Do you look at the blue page?
I'm looking at the blue page.
The other one.
I don't know, Matt. I literally, you only have me 35. This is 18 to 20.
Matt, just give it to us.
I brought it up because he's from Asia.
Oh, yeah. Bend over. No. No, rammed over. That's the
he's fantastic name.
Here, I see. Okay, I see the 50 now. You're so mature. He went from 24th in Asia, and he took a 58 spot penalty. And so he's
now he's currently 82nd. But Ram Dover, do you think that this is legitimate?
I was questioning if it was a Hiller.
I'm gonna guess that this is not legit.
Oh, you're calling it out. I like the
say the name again.
I was Ram Dover. I was questioning if it was a Hiller.
Rammed, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I think you guys are onto something.
Why does it have to be Hiller?
Because he did it last year.
Yeah.
You think he's the only one that put in a fake score?
No, are you
trying to entice that you might have had some extracurriculars?
Maybe. I mean, do you think that nobody's come up with this idea that Hiller's the only one that has? So anyway.
I would underestimate you. Yeah, I mean.
I think that one of the top fake scores is made.
If you did that, I'm going to be impressed, but also.
If not, I apologize, and good luck to Ramdover.
I mean, so Sevan just went live with Hiller, and the title of it is, "Are CrossFit Games Athlete Seasons All Caps Dead? Massive Quarterfinals Penalties with Andrew Hiller."
No, there's only a handful. There's like two or three people that are.
I mean, the thing that sucks is Jacob Heppner put out a video today, and it was talking about how Paige Powers went from, like, well, hold on, let me see if it's on here.
She went from fifth, didn't really just say fifth to 100-something?
Yeah, but she ended up, like, her score ended up being, like, 668th in the region.
Mm-hmm.
And Jacob Heppner's point was, is if they're going to give her a penalty all the way down to 668, they need to look at everybody from 1 to 668. Because it's not fair for her to take that big of a penalty if they're not looking at people's videos ahead of her.
Yeah.
Which is fair. Like, you should 100% be looking at all of these videos.
That's a lot of placements. They basically just take all of her reps.
They just gave
away.
Her like a 25% penalty.
Hold on. I literally think for the person listening, like, you should repeat what you said, because that's like the biggest.
Yeah. I mean, the issue, and this is the issue we had with the teams as well. They don't watch every single video. So Paige Powers, say, went from 30th in the workout to 668 in one workout. And they're not looking at the videos. They're probably only looking at the videos
for 300, 400, 500, 600.
Yeah, and they need to look at all of those because those, let's be honest, the point was is if these top athletes are doing it wrong, these middle of the pack athletes are doing it wrong as well, right? And all those penalties need to be accounted into the score because it's not fair to just punish one person like that.
Arguably, they're not looking past any, like past 50 probably.
No. For the team, they only looked at people when they dropped into the top 30.
They didn't look at ours. We were like 36. Mm-hmm. So
yeah.
And Taylor's not saying, like, you're not saying that it's not fair. Like, it's like complaining, like, oh, it's unjust. It's like literally, if you took that and you applied the penalties to all those people, then Paige's her overall ranking would go way higher.
Yes.
She would get back into the. It would
she
be
could
like,
potentially get back into the top 40.
You would. It would be. They would cancel each other out essentially, and she'd go way, way up.
Yeah.
And it's also interesting, like, this is, and you talked about how you liked the workout. I don't know off the, like, top of my head how it affects it, but basically this is another big difference between a timed workout and a workout for reps with a 25% major penalty. Mm-hmm. Like, it goes completely differently. Like, remember, like, if it's a, like, so an example being, like, in a team workout or any workout, if you got a 25% penalty on a workout that was like a 20-minute time cap, like the higher the time cap, the larger the percentage the penalty plays in.
Yeah.
And so, like, the further you go down on that leaderboard, for that workout. And so it's just, it's interesting the different factors that come into that play. Just an observation. Yeah.
Well, and the thing that I said this on Wednesday, and actually I watched one of Hillary's videos today, but I said on Wednesday, I go, they should have just made these box step overs, because all you're doing is you're opening up questioning people standing up. Or if you're opening up people, if you're questioning people not lifting their head up in neutral, people are trying to go as fast as they possibly can, and they're stepping up to a box. So yes, they're going to be looking down the whole time to move quickly. So it's one of those things that they just would have done box step overs. This would have been completely not an issue.
I said it all the time. Because it takes care of itself. You don't have to open up hips, but you've got to get completely over the box, right? Both feet need to land on, step down. You eliminate people from jumping off. You eliminate people from, flipping a box. I mean, it's safer.
Mm-hmm.
You don't have these judging fiascos. It's the same thing I was with like burpees. It's instead of doing like a normal burpee, you do a burpee over a bar, or you do it to a touch. So you don't have to worry about, are they straight up? It takes care of itself. Yep. Just make it easier on yourself. They just cannot get out of their own way.
No,
they literally can't. Well, every year you think they get, you think you're going to get a little bit better, and they continue to just make stupid mistakes like this, which are simple things that they could have adjusted a little thing here and there and made it really, really, more functional for them to judge and get correct.
And they've done a lot of things. Like, they haven't really, for box jumps and everything, they've always been box jump overs for the past how long? I mean, they haven't done box jumps. So why now all of a sudden do you do a box step up and be super, super strict on it?
Weighted.
And not give any... Here's the thing too. Why don't you just put a video out and be like, hey, this is the exact standard. You need to make sure your head's up. This is a new CrossFit. This is a new movement. Why don't we put a video out and say this is exactly what we want? Like in the open, they do the live video announcements and they're like, this is a standard. Make sure you do this. Why don't you do that for quarterfinals?
Yeah, true. It's just, anyway, it's disheartening to see. I mean, but it makes me think they have...
But this is all, sorry, Matt, to interrupt you. I was just going to say, like, this is all happening, and we alluded to with the judges thing or whatever. Like, the
professional.
Was that before? I can't remember. So was that Taylor before we were recording?
Explain that what that is.
Yeah, we're talking about
before. That's before recording. Okay, sorry.
Hold on, before you go there, explain what it is. This is my opinion on that.
Okay, let's hear
which it. So it's a business. So O'Keefe, a couple other, top CrossFit judges, I think, got together in a room, saw a business opportunity. They're like, hey, you got all these training camps, right? Let's see if we'll put legitimate, registered, high-level CrossFit, sometimes even HQ people in these positions. You can hire us, bring them into the gym. They're not doing that for free. They're making decent money on that. That way, your athlete will have, this high-level judge, as the judge for their open workouts, for their quarterfinal workouts. And we might breeze through this thing. Well, guess what?
They're getting home.
So I don't know. So there could be, this is me, the conspiracy theory in me, but it's like, it could be HQ got pissed off about something and is hammering. They're hammering all these reps. I saw three or four different pictures from Hiller on athletes with this organization's judges behind them.
Mm-hmm.
So there's at least three or four. So it's all these top people that are getting hit with penalties. And have a top level judge.
Training Think Tank, Mayhem, Hard Work Pays Off, and JST, and as well as...
So they're spread out the love, at least.
And Proven.
Proven. So they're not doing that for free. That's a business they're putting together, and I think it's backfiring on them.
Yeah.
And so they put out a statement that we don't have to read the whole thing. You can just get into it if you want, but it was basically like You can't pay for any guarantees, but they paid to have the highest level judge that they can have go there to be certified. Like, I mean, it's not CrossFit, I don't know. But you go there to get as much peace of mind as you possibly can, and the result is the same thing. They were there, and
they still got a penalty.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I haven't gone through and watched all these videos. I don't know if it's the judge's fault, or if it's the CrossFit judges are being unfair, or if the judges on site were but I don't know if Oscar... I'm just like calling De La Hoya, but that's not wrong. But the guy that we were just talking about is Proven. I don't know if he had one of these judges or not, but basically I could see some of those judges making mistakes.
And their statement was, we form this to try to make this the best possible thing with all these judges that, I mean, you look at these judges and they're judges that have literally judged me every,
regionals,
court or semifinals, sanctionals, the games. It's the same judges that I've seen over and over and over again for years, even Wadapalooza. And, you know, they are the top judges. You see them all these big events and their statement, you know, is saying, obviously what you see live in person is better than what you see in a video, which is true. They even say that for like football video review, right? Like, or baseball, it's like, just let them play. And what you see live is going to be different than what you can see in review, because you can slow it down, you can rewatch it, things like that.
Fundamentally from a different view.
Like, yes. So, you know, that was like one thing. And they said, obviously we feel bad about this and we strive to be better. And the big thing, the big people that are pushing this is the professional
PFA.
Yeah. And that's, you know, Brent Fikowski, I saw one and, you know, commented on it right away. Like, this is a way to go in the sport. And it is, you do need some standardization with some of this stuff. And
where did he comment?
On the judges thing.
Did they just?
Yeah, I can read it to you.
Put it out?
Yeah. Hold on, let me see if it pops up.
So he's sticking up online for every one of their judges, athletes getting penalties, he's sticking up for that?
So online competitions are always very frustrating for athletes and judges to navigate. Organized and well-trained judges is something every sport needs. I still fully support the AFJ as a group to make it a reality. I know this setback won't stop them.
I don't disagree with Fikowski there. The idea and the theory, I don't even blame the... I don't assign blame to anyone yet between the CrossFit judges or these judges in person. But true. what it's just clearly a sign of is that the system is goofed up. You know what I mean? That there's work to be done, which I know that HQ would be the first to admit that there is. But basically, you know, if quarterfinals are going to be a thing, but you have on-site judges and video judges completely disagreeing. Yeah. Like, that's what my takeaway from it, at least.
So you can, don't go down the rabbit hole of the comments.
I was just reading. It's funny. Someone's like, cause they posted it. They had like a note on their phone and they just scrolled through it and made a reel. And someone posted and they're like, I can't read that fast. And they said, now try judging with athletes moving that fast. The AFJ responded.
I love it. I've judged a lot of, amateur judge, I've judged a lot of,
I think we will
fast moving
athletes. Hold on, my last. Hard. So a video with a major penalty is over the course of video, the athlete demonstrates significant, and this is the thing too, there's no set no reps, right? It says the athlete demonstrates a significant number of no reps that results in a faster time or higher score for a given workout. In this case, a major penalty will be applied and the score may be modified by subtracting 15 to 40% from the total rep count. If the score is posted in time form, the total time will be adjusted accordingly. So here's the issue with what they're doing. There's no set, if you don't open your hips on a step up, you get a one rep penalty. Right. You know what I mean? There's nothing set like that.
You're saying there's not a threshold for the penalty to become major?
Is that correct?
Yeah, that's what
it just says, a significant number of reps.
Did I understand you correctly?
Yes. Like that's like, and then a minor penalty is an athlete demonstrates a small number of no reps. Yeah,
and it's what's 15, what's 30, what's 35%, what's 40%.
They need to have some sort of, like when Hiller did the Nopen, he had for every no rep, it was like, if you do this, it's a 1 second penalty. If you do this, you know what I mean? And so things like that, they need to be able to clarify.
Tighten it up a little bit.
Because if you're going to give people this large of penalties, there needs to be a reason for why, and for an exact reason for why, not just like, we felt like giving you 15%, but giving you 40%.
Yeah. So it's just vague.
We're going to save our money and not bring in the AFL for the Blue City quarterfinals next year.
Yeah. I mean, they're going to have they don't have a great, they'll have a hard time selling next year. They need to rebound and get their name back. Yeah.
All right. So the women, the top name on that leaderboard was Tia Claire Toomey. She was number one. She took I heard that she tumbled down the leaderboard. She took 7th spot. She's currently 8th.
She was in 28th.
What?
She How'd was.
She change?
I don't know. She
because
must
then
have,
other people got penalties?
I'm guessing that she got, she won an argument of some sort. She was in 28th though.
Okay. Well, anyway.
That so somehow Tia got back.
You mentioned it, Paige Power. She was 5th.
Yeah.
Took 98 spots. So she's 103 now. I think that's pretty much.
Sydney Wells is the other big one.
But that's, she was 24th. And there's a lot of people that were, there was a 23rd, 20th, 17th, 16th, 14th, 13th, 11th. All those people were, I don't recognize them, but a lot of them from Europe, Asia. They took major penalties, but the biggest one, you know, from North America East is Sydney Wells. She was 24th, took a 117 point tumble, or spot tumble, spot to tumble. 141. So that's crazy. That's pretty disheartening because she's kind of at the beginning of her CrossFit career, and a lot of people are pulling for her, including us. So it's crazy that, Brooke Wells was 10th, took 28 spot tumble. She's 38th.
Yeah, and she was outside the cut line for a little bit.
No, she was at 40.
No, she was at 41 for a little bit, and then other people got...
This dropped. Is where I think, you know, you kind of need to look at all the videos. So, again,
yeah, 100%.
They didn't do that for the teams. They didn't do that for us. How all those people, I don't know how they're able to do that, but they have to. I mean, we've talked about this in the past. I mean, multiple podcasts. Take an extra week. Take an extra 2 weeks. Yeah. Move the open up by a week or two to give them and say, look, we're going to look at these videos. Don't start barking about the leaderboard. Don't start celebrating. Don't start crying, because we're going to take 3 or 4 weeks and go through this, scrub it, look at all the videos. Mm-hmm. We're going to charge $2 more for the open, and we're going to hire some people to look at videos. I mean, you have to. Why? What a joke. Why would you do four, possibly, and this is the first year there's been four for quarterfinals. There's usually five, sometimes even six scores. Look at one video and then actually have some people that you have penalties on.
Major penalties.
And not look at other videos.
Yeah.
Look at statistics. It's, you know, you've got mistakes in there. So you've got people that are getting in that shouldn't be there, and you have people that aren't in that should be there.
Yep. 100%. All right.
Agreed.
Should we move on to workout two?
Yep. Workout two.
Yeah. All right. Workout two was 3 rounds for time of 50 wall ball shots. 20 14 pound to a 10 and 9 foot target, and then 50 lateral burpee box jump overs, 24 20 inches, 20 minute time cap. The biggest standard for this was you had to step down from the box, you could not jump. So,
yeah, this sucked.
It was terrible. It's just a mental slog. It's
100 and potentially,
yeah,
if you finished 150 burpee box jump overs with Karen in between. So, it was just, I only got through
40
two,
wall balls.
Well, I got 2 rounds of the burpee box jump overs, and I was like, I don't know. Yeah, I knew. I looked up at the clock, and I knew I wasn't getting back to him, and I was like, thank God, because I don't even know I could do another one. There was so many.
I didn't watch it, but if you the footage of the Taylor Self versus the World, I was hearing the post game. They were interviewing him, and like, he completely blacked. I think he made a scene on that one. Like, he like completely blacked out, and Taylor Self.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know exactly what happened. I don't know if it's like that funny or that like, but he kind of went into, I think he had a public meltdown like on camera, and it was fine, and did, still got a good score or whatever. But yeah, so he died on this workout.
Yeah. It was all, I imagine a lot of people did. Well, I watched a lot of people, but a lot of high level athletes, I think, probably did. Mm-hmm. It was rough. I had to go to a dark, dark place in, after about 20 burpee box jump overs, you're like, oh my gosh, I have potentially 130 more of these. No way.
You're
So it was tough to keep mentally focused on that one.
That's so much like, I don't know, this affects me maybe more than other people, but it's like going up, down on the wall ball and then jumping over on like the burpees. It's so like feel like you're on like a roller coaster sort of like.
Yeah.
Like 6 or 7 sort of something. Like with that workout.
I just want to make a quick comment right here too. This is a CrossFit mistake in my eyes. Allison Scuds is literally the demo person for all of these. And she did the workouts.
Yeah. Yeah. So.
So she, that's just.
And
just,
she didn't get penalized either.
No. Yeah. Just get someone that.
She's the demo one on like the videos.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah.
And she did the workouts in quarters. I'm sorry.
Which, like, so hold on. Because I'm trying to think here. But like, yeah,
One year Stacey Tovar was the demo person for the workouts for regionals.
Mm-hmm.
She was not allowed to do regionals.
Right. I just,
like, that should be a rule. Like, if you're going to go and be a demo for these workouts, then you can't do them.
Yeah. I'm just thinking. So,
sorry.
No. That is a conflict of interest or whatever you said. But like, I was just thinking it from a camera person. I've watched the videos closely with her. But I was thinking of the camera person, because I know she's been on the demo team like 2 years, and they've had her out there a bunch. Like, if you were like for a day, you're like, hey, we're going to film you do all these workouts. Like, not all workouts, but like these movements
yeah.
you could easily throw together.
But then you know what movements to practice.
No. Like, oh. I'm talking about like even 2 years ago, like, we're going to have you do wall balls every yeah. crawl. We're going to have yeah. you do a library, like hit James Hill, where I did with that,
mm-hmm.
but with movements. Like, you're going to wear the same clothes, you're going to do this. And so if they didn't have floor plans and I'd have yeah. to look at the way they edited it. But if they look at the video,
true.
If I looked at the videos and there weren't like floor plans, you could have a person on the back end just very easily with the voiceover and her movements, yeah. put it together. So that's the devil's advocate or steel man to that. Cause that would be a very blatant, like, that's like Hiller's going to jump all over that. Yeah. I think. So I think they'd be safe. We'll circle back on that one, but totally agree.
All right. Well, like Matt said, workout two was just a slog. It was hard to count because I didn't want to mess up the reps, but 50 burpee box jump overs just takes forever. So, I just had to do little hash marks for every rep that people were doing just to keep myself.
Oh, for sure. Judging.
Yeah. Judging mm-hmm. wise. Workout three. This was probably my favorite one. I thought it was a lot of fun. It was three rounds for time of 10 handstand pushups, 20 toto bar. And then you went straight into two rounds for time of 10 strict handstand pushups, five rope climbs to 15 feet. And then you went into one round of 10 chest to wall handstand pushups and 20 ring muscle ups. Time cap of 15 minutes. This one was just one that definitely, I mean, it's pure gymnastics, pure grip. I thought going into this one, I was like, oh, I'm worried about my triceps. And I was definitely way more affected by my core. In my grip when I got to the ring muscle up. So it was one of those, I did it with you, Teddy, and you filmed it, and I did it in like 1340 and had some mishaps. The rings were too low. Someone had lowered them. And the rope, we only have like 13 and a half to 14 foot rope at our gym. So I like started on the ground. But I went and I did it again on Sunday and I went like 12:15. So I went a lot faster.
Like, yeah,
but part of it too was, well, A, it's just easier to jump to a rope instead of do what we did at the gym.
You did it on a 15-foot rope the
yeah,
same time, right?
Yeah, 10-20, yeah.
Do you think you could have gotten sub-12 had you broke up your muscle-ups a little differently?
I don't know.
Or no.
I think I could have got sub-12 if I wasn't running around like a chicken with my head cut off all week. And, I mean, we had 20 athletes at our gym do quarterfinals, and that's coordinating 20 different people on Wednesday night, Thursday night, Friday night, Saturday, Sunday.
That's so much work.
And I did it on Sunday with, I did it last with James. So we had five other heats go before. So just like, yeah, I think I could have gone sub 12 if I was rested.
I'm just asking because Tia Claire Toomey did it in 7 minutes and 25
yeah,
seconds.
Yeah, it was dumb.
What the fuck? I want to see the video. You have to check that video.
Yeah, agreed.
What the hell?
Well, okay, my tie break time, and those are good movements for me, handstand pushups, strict handstand pushups, rope climbs. My tie break time the second time around was like 7:40 or 7:50 or something. And Tia Claire Toomey did 20 ring muscle ups and 10 strict handstand pushups faster than that.
So let's just think about it. She's really good at handstand pushups. And then her ring muscle ups. I mean, she almost won the 30 ring muscle ups for time against.
Oh, I'm Christina. Not. I'm, yeah, just, I know, I'm saying. I know, I'm
but
just,
still,
yeah,
so
I know. I'm
just 30 muscle ups for time is like, let's just say it's 2 minutes, right?
Mm-hmm.
Does 20. So let's cut it back to a minute and a half. That means in 6 minutes, she did all that other work.
Yeah,
I got to see that video. You got to analyze that thing.
I think. I mean, I would like to see the video too, but I could.
So do you know? So on this. Freya
Moosberger. Yep, she used to be.
Did you hear what happened with
her? I did not hear. Enlighten me.
She went 13th, 10th, and 30th, but she does not have a score in for workout two. So she's 869th.
Unreal. What?
So
she's had trouble. She had something come up another year too. Like, I don't know, but she messed up something like this before.
I mean, that would be top in the East. You know, she'd be definitely top 10 in the East. But she doesn't have a score in there. So,
well, let's talk about this. This girl, Kelsey Mazur, is third place in North America East and with a time of 8:17. And she got 2,631st.
Well, that's just people that have misscored.
I know, but I'm saying points matter.
They haven't cleaned it up.
They need a clean leaderboard up, was my point.
Okay. I mean, I'm talking about legitimate things.
Yes,
here.
I know.
Freya's story on Instagram just is her walking her dog and her eating homemade nachos. So And she posted 6 days ago, 3 workouts down, 1 more to go.
Weird.
Maybe weird. She never got to that one.
Not sure.
It was cool. Haley Adams back in it.
Yeah,
she
that's
is
fun.
5-5. And then, what, do you go over the last?
The last workout yeah.
Which was, we could, and then we can.
Clean and jerks.
We can kind of talk about, that'll lead us into Taylor Self versus the World.
Yeah, cold.
So the last workout was a 10-minute AMRAP. You did 10 clean and jerks at 135.85. And then you did 1 minute rest. And you did 10 clean and jerks at 185, 125. 1 minute rest, 10 clean and jerks at 225, 155, 1 minute rest. And then in the remaining time, it was max reps at 245, 165. So
this was an interesting one.
This was an interesting one. It was, I actually ended up liking it. This is not something that I would normally like, honestly. Mm-hmm. But I like that it was very like cardio based as well. So you, like I did it and I got 25 clean and jerks at 165.
Super impressive.
And your heart rate was like super high. So it wasn't just a max strength event, which was nice. I mean, obviously the strong people still did really, really well. But it definitely played a little bit more. It wasn't just, you know, who can do the heaviest clean and jerk, which is a nice kind of change up of what they've done in the past with something. So,
yeah, I guess what like interested me about the workout or what caught my eye after watching you do it. And some, I also watched this workout the closest for the Taylor Self versus the World, like Matt said, was the like threshold was so like the line. If you went too far, if you make a mistake at like that heavy of a weight, you know, you go just a little too far over the edge, almost like a handstand walk or a rope climb, like this rope climb.
Yeah.
You're done. Like you're done for the making a mistake in terms of the last bar. It's like all about, I mean, they all, when Taylor Self versus the World, we had Jason Hopper, Taylor Self, Dallin Pepper and Colton Mertens going head to head all in the same gym
at the same time
and they all got to the last bar within second, like 2 seconds of each other, you know, so they got, I think it was 4 minutes flat or whatever it was. So it was really, unsurprisingly, but all about the last bar. And so then the last bar, you know, if you miss a, if you're going at too hard of a pace and then you miss a clean and jerk because you're you've pushed it too far, you can't take a break, like, you know, there's no coming back. And it's, when you finish it with, you have 5 minutes left, it seems like a longer time than it actually is when you, for making a mistake. And that was just my observation.
It is. If you hit failure on your clean, with most people you're hitting failure on your jerk, the clean was okay. It's still heavy, but it was okay. If you hit failure on your clean or on your jerk, like the amount of time you have to wait to do another one is high. And so you had to be smart. Like I definitely actually talked to another girl from CrossFit Believe team last year, Lauren, and she said that she did one every 10 seconds. And I was like, damn. But I kind of actually ended up holding like every 12 to 13 seconds and kind of surprised myself with that. But it was one of those things where, yeah, you had to like, at the beginning, you had to tell yourself to slow down. And at the end, you had to tell yourself to keep on that same pace.
Yes. Well said. I just, it's, I mean, it's more for like the intermediate athletes and amateurs and stuff like that. Is that doesn't think it all the way through, but you just, for making a mistake like that, like going too fast.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden your time is, it's gone. Yeah. Like, and you're toasted, but you can't, especially the elite athletes, you cannot afford to go too slow.
Correct.
Like at the, you know,
you got to pick your pace and do it. You can't.
Yeah. I think that's, it's a neat thing that they did though, because you know, you're kind of on your own island when you do these things in quarterfinals. You don't, you know, you might be able to do it a couple people in your gym, but are they really like top level across the world athletes? And that was like 4 big time athletes. Kind of, you know, kind of, you can do it in your own gym by yourself, and you're like, you put your score down, and you're like, man, was this anywhere near what it needs to be, or was it poor, or was it all, you know,
in the dark?
Yeah, and you get 4 guys like that in there, and they're all pretty close. Get a pretty good idea of how many reps people are going to be doing. Yeah. So it's kind of a neat thing to see.
The winner got $5,000.
Damn right.
Yep.
California home runs.
I mean, I like that some of these top athletes, and you're seeing it with some of these people doing it at training camps and stuff like that too. But if you're relatively confident you can make semifinals, or like 100% confident you can make semifinals, I like that more people are putting more content out there and sharing their scores and sharing those kind of things, because I think it's The further I get into the sport, the more I just don't care what my, like, I obviously care about my scores. I don't care about sharing my score with someone else because they're either going to be able to beat it or they're not. Like, just plain and simple. Mm-hmm. At a certain point, your fitness level is your fitness level. You're going to be smart enough to beat my score and fit enough to beat my score. You're not.
Yeah.
And I like that, like, this Taylor Self versus the world, like, those guys weren't afraid to put themselves out there and do that. I think it really actually helps build interest for the sport and build interest for these things. If, you know, and people, I mean, obviously, most of the people that are watching that are going to be in the bottom, not in the bottom, but they're not going to be in the top 40 athletes, you know.
I mean, 99.9% of the people watching are not competing with it.
And I think for like an online competition, like quarterfinals like this, getting people outside that are not actually doing quarterfinals, like getting them involved in it too. Like they did the open and it makes it a goal for them next year. It's cool. It kind of brings them in there and it actually is actually building kind of this online competition format for the people that aren't doing quarterfinals. And obviously CrossFit is not doing this themselves. But I like that some of these athletes are taking it upon themselves and doing this and probably enjoying it along the way. And I think it's building the sport up a little bit that way. CrossFit just keeps tearing it down at times. But this is something that I think will help the sport when people doing this kind of stuff.
I could not agree more. Retweet.
I agree. You want to finish up with how people did in the gym with quarters? And
I'd love to. I got all my numbers over here. So so our big news is we've got three age group athletes moving on to semifinals.
Mm-hmm.
Got the clap steady.
Man, nice. Good news. Good job. Well done.
So number one over here is Mr. Matt Detman himself.
Yes.
He's back.
Surprisingly, I hurt myself in quarterfinals, so I don't even know if I'll be able to do semifinals.
Did you hurt yourself in quarterfinals or after quarterfinals?
Sorry.
During.
During. Catching a clean, yeah.
Jeez Louise.
Sarah, our 40 to 44 athlete.
Yep. She improved. She was not sitting as good as she was after the first and second, correct? She improved.
She was like 180th and she moved up to 65th.
Yeah, she moved really.
She
good.
Destroyed the last few workouts, which I knew she'd do well in the gymnastics one. She's very gymnastics heavy. But she destroyed the barbell. She got like 16 clean and jerks, or 15 or 16.
That's awesome.
Like, that was very impressive. And it was, I actually watched, she redid both those workouts on Monday because I know she was like not happy with where she was sitting after the first two. And she got two extra muscle ups and one extra clean and jerk. And I don't know how much that moved her up the leaderboard, but like I said, damn, those scores were really impressive.
Yes.
Where is she sitting?
She's 65th.
Really?
Mm-hmm. Hmm. And then Chase, our 16 and 17-year-old athlete. He ended up 50th in quarters. So he's moving on. The top 40, I believe, make it for him. So he's trying to make it to the game. So we'll see what happens. But he's got a good shot at it for sure, which is exciting.
He's been working hard.
He's been working very hard. I mean, just looking at his scores last year, he got 138th overall, and to move up to 50th this year,
that's huge, pretty
big improvement. So that was, it was fun to watch him. He's one of those athletes, he's so young and he's got so much to learn, and so I think as he becomes a smarter and smarter athlete, he'll get better and better. Will be fun to watch for sure.
Gotta work on your fitness and gotta work on your
what's in between the head.
Yes,
too.
So much.
Which, he's someone that'll run through the wall, but sometimes you don't want to start the workout running through the wall, right?
Yeah, that's
is Sarah in 45 49?
No, she's 40 to 44.
Oh, yeah.
This is her last year. So for her to be, I mean, that's really impressive if you think about it, too, to be up there.
The last
it's hard. Sector. It's very hard to be there. But overall, we had, like I said, 20 athletes from the gym do semifinal or quarterfinals out of 28 that qualified. So pretty good ratio and fun to watch all of them. Amarian was 88th in the women. Amara, 120. Izzy, 361. And then Trista, I don't know, I was trying to do an order, but I'm not going to get it right. Trista, 2400. Lizzie, 2737. Kim, 3202. And there was like 3,500 women. So I think this was a really good. So Kim and Lizzie just like snuck in to quarterfinals. Mm-hmm. They were like right at that like 24% or 23%. And I think this was a really good like springboard for the both of them. They like learned a lot and had a good time. Definitely Lizzie, I think Lizzie takes my award for like most exciting weekend. She PR'd a clean jerk at 155. She did strict handstand pushups for the first time, and she got 16 reps.
Wow.
Like, so one of those things where it was impressive to watch. And then she was like really worried about the barbell weight and stuff for the snatches and did great on that. So I think she gets my award for best performance of the weekend overall.
I have to go back and listen to the tape, but she might have got the best. She might have got Taylor's award for best open performance too.
Oh yeah.
She might, I don't know, maybe. And then we've got the Caitlin was in the 35-39 division. Courtney and Amy were in the 40-44 as well, and Cindy was in the 50-54. Cindy got 259 in the top 200, make it to semis. And
say that again.
Cindy got 259, the top 200, make it to semis. She honestly, she destroyed the rope climb workout. And she'll, you know, she's always funny. She's like, I just need to get stronger. But she did, I thought she did really, really well too. She was, her like max snatch is 95, more so just mentally, she can't get past that number. But she got a ton at 85, which was really fun to watch and really awesome. Good for her.
That's awesome.
And then her clean and jerk, she did 10 at 125, which for her is huge because she's not, she doesn't like a barbell. And that's a mental battle for her because if there's ever that heavy of a bar in a workout, she's not doing it. So I was really happy for her to get all 10 of those reps too.
That's awesome.
And then the guys, we had Seth ended up in 162. James was 413. Nolan, so is he moving?
No. That's top, you need to be top 40, right?
Yeah, top 40 for the individual. Nolan, 565. Louise, 2800. Tommy, 2900. And the men, there was like 3700 that did it. So
what was James?
413.
That's pretty solid.
Yep. And then Chris Bowman did the 40-44 and was 17.85. So overall, it was a really, I thought everyone, there was a lot of highs. I think obviously, you know, people always focus on the negatives, but being on the outside and just watching everybody, watching them for the whole year, watching them through the open, through quarters, there's so many highs for me. And that's what like makes it exciting to see all these people do really well, surprise themselves. Like I said, a lot of people never lift that heavy of a barbell consistently in a workout, and be able to put 10 reps together at some of these weights was really impressive. Some of the gymnastics stuff, it's fun to watch and cool to be a part of.
Yeah,
totally agree. CrossFit kind of naturally selects for people, self-selects for people that are like, hard workers, hard on themselves and, you know, want to get better, constant improvement sort of thing. And so it's. Doesn't surprise me. You know, you said people like to focus on like the negative or like, oh, I wish I could have done this better. Or like the people are hard on themselves on their Instagram posts, which is a lot of the, you know, that type of personality is like what it takes to be good at the sport to some degree. So I think it's good for Taylor to you to say it both on the podcast, but obviously you're doing it all weekend to let them know, hey, you really improved a lot, did a lot of really cool things, and we're proud of you sort of a thing. I mean, and even like when you're competing, you know, it's like, it's, I've seen it with everybody. When you're on the floor, you want to do better and you have, it's good for other people to, vocalize or tell them that like, it's like, hey, you're over here on the sidelines, you're doing really freaking good. So good job, everyone.
Shout out to our host Taylor that, helped do all of those early to give people
some numbers to tips go
and
off tricks of,
and what to do, what not to do, where the pain's going to come, and how to break things up, because I think it really helped people. So it's not what every gym is getting, as a top level athlete to kind of run through it and give some advice. So fun times.
Go check out Taylor's YouTube channel. We'll be back on the podcast once this leaderboard gets fiasco shakes out. Until then, good job, everyone. See you.